Lewis Galloway says that preaching about prayer is like falling into the ocean. We cannot touch the ocean floor. We're overwhelmed by the vast sea around us. We come up flailing our arms, grasping for breath, and struggling to stay afloat. So I don't know if that's supposed to make preachers want to preach on prayer, or just proves that we're crazy if we do. But that's our scripture for today. I remember as a young child feeling very inadequate praying, especially praying out loud. I remember hearing beautiful prayers that almost, no, they did sound like poetry. And they were prayed by people so secure in their words. I remember hearing my own parents pray, and I just didn't understand, how do you learn to do that? As a teenager and as a young adult, I struggled. Sure, I could sit in a quiet place and in my mind talk to God, but please don't ask me to pray out loud. I think maybe like that disciple that day, I have thought to myself many times, please teach me to pray. I want to have those beautiful phrases that just sound, well, like God would give you anything you ask for because your words are so beautiful. Thankfully, Jesus did not say to his disciples that day, I can't teach you how to pray, just do it. And thankfully, he didn't give them a lesson on writing beautiful, beautiful poetry. No, he gave his disciples an example, a rather practical example, to help them understand how to pray, and he said nothing about it needing to be beautiful. It's interesting to me because the Luke version of this prayer is different than the Matthew version that we prayed just a few moments ago. The Matthew version is the more poetic, beautiful words. But Luke is just the basics. Just the basics. I really appreciate that fact. Still, today, well, I'm called on to pray a lot. A lot. And I still get that little panic before I pray. Will I say things right? Will they be beautiful? And then I have to stop and remind myself, I'm not praying for you all or whoever is listening to me. I'm praying with you all. For God and God alone to hear. When prayers are prayed out loud for an audience other than God, it's no different than praying to an idol because you're wanting the response from the people rather than from God. This year on Wednesday evenings, the first Wednesday of the month, we did a discussion on prayer. The first night of that discussion, I asked people to write down their questions, things they didn't understand about prayer, and I got a lot of questions written down. The idea was not that I would answer their questions. Believe me, I still can't answer some of them. But that we would discuss them and we would see as a group our different thoughts and maybe learn ideas and thoughts that could help us on our journey and in our prayer life. And you can imagine the kind of questions I got. We don't really understand prayer, do we? We get confused about whether we pray to change God's mind or to negotiate or to ask for stuff and get stuff, to get stuff we didn't even know we needed. Are we celebrating God or telling God about ourselves? Does prayer change what's going to happen? Or does prayer change me and how I perceive what has happened? It's all very confusing. And frankly, I can read this Luke scripture today, and if I'm not careful, it can make me even more confused than I started out. Are we to pray over and over and over until God gets fed up with me and gives in? That's what the story of the friend who needed bread sounded like. Be persistent until God gives in. If I live right, will God give me anything I want? Ask and you shall receive. It's rather hard to understand, isn't it? I love that the lectionary pairs this scripture with the Colossians scripture. While it doesn't refer to prayer directly, Paul and Timothy are inviting the community at Colossae to remember. Remember. Remember where you came from and remember to live faithfully. Remember our power source. Remember that you are rooted in Christ and built up in Him. Those two phrases are very visual for me. The idea of being grounded in roots, moving through the earth and grabbing hold of the earth and creating a tremendous strength. And then the being built tall and massive, remaining strong because those roots have spread out. Have you ever planted anything in a pot and let it stay in the pot too long? And when you decide that you really need to plant it in something bigger or in the ground, and you take it out and those roots are just gnarly and tied together, and you understand why the plant hasn't been growing. I think sometimes we find it very comfortable to live in a pot. The problem is when we live in a pot, our plant can't grow because those roots can't spread out. To me, that's what prayer is for. It's what helps to create those roots with God, like those of a plant spreading through the earth and gaining their strength and nourishment, with plenty of room to continue to spread and plenty of space to be built taller and stronger. Prayer being the only way for me as a child of God to acknowledge the way that I see God in my daily life. Through the blessings that have been showered upon me, through the way I've seen others minister to me and others minister to others. Through the way I've seen and felt creation, whether that be a beautiful sunset or the laughter and love of children. Through the way I see God work in the lives of others and the way I've seen God hold people up during times of extreme trials. Prayer is how I remember and share with God. Prayer is also the way for me to tell God the way in which I've fallen short. Now, I know that's never the fun part, is it? It's never fun to admit we've been wrong or that we need to be better. But without confessing our shortcomings, we become stunted. Our roots just stop, and we stop growing. You know the saying, the first step is admitting you have a problem. The best way for us to grow in our relationship with God is admitting how we've fallen short. Then and only then can we begin the process of hitting the mark. And Lamott, one of my favorite writers, says she has two basic prayers. The first one is thank you, thank you, thank you. And the second one is help me, help me, help me. When we admit our mistakes, when we're really ready to say help me, help me, help me, we're saying, help me make better choices. Help me to know the direction to go. Help me to know you're here with me. And help me know what you want me to do. And prayer is also the time for me to stop and listen. That's not easy for me. I'm really a person that doesn't always listen so well. I also don't do well at just being still and quiet. I really need something to keep my mind busy, either reading or watching TV or doing something in the yard or in the kitchen. But just being still and silent, it's just not easy for me. Prayer is where I can depend on God to speak to me if I'm willing to listen. I couldn't help but think of our children at this point. You know how hard it is to get children to really listen to you. I showed you that this morning. And I'm guessing I could get many people in this room to testify to that same problem. But I love talking to children. But when you need them to really do something particular, it's really hard to get them to really listen. You can say things a dozen times and still they don't hear you. And I imagine that God feels the same frustration with me. I imagine God at times saying, if you would just listen. Listen. Why can't you listen? God speaks to us. Yes, God speaks to us in the busyness of the day. God speaks to us through other individuals, but God speaks to us in the silence in a way that's different. Jesus used children as an example. What parent would give children anything other than what they need, whether they listen or not? God continues to reach out to us and give us what we need, not for us to be successful in society, not for us to have the house and the car that keeps you up with the neighbors, but God gives us what we need to grow in the kingdom of God. I have a friend who, just occasionally when I'm talking to her, we're not together very much, but when we talk on the phone, she'll say, okay, how's your prayer life? And I usually stumble around a bit and admit, not what it should be. Prayer should be a way of life. Shelley Williams, in her blog on prayer, reminds us that we are not merely called to pray. We're called to a life of prayerfulness. A life in which every breath we take, every move we make, is attuned to the breath and movement of God that is already a part of us. And in that way, prayer comes with responsibility. As we enter that realm of God, we too are called to be a part of creating a world of justice and peace and forgiveness, of providing bread for the hungry and shunning of those things that temptingly pull us away from where we're called to be. Prayer then opens us to love, and that too becomes a way of sustaining our life. prayerfulness. Living a life of prayerfulness. It's not always going to be the easy road. Elizabeth Gilbert wrote in the book Eat, Pray, Love, she was in search of finding herself, and she traveled to 3 countries in search of good food, prayer, and love. And she says that the search for God is a reversal of the normal, mundane, worldly order. In the search for God, you revert from what attracts you and swim towards what's difficult. You abandon your comforting and familiar habits with the hope that something greater will be offered you in return for what you've been given. I certainly believe that Jesus did promise that day with his disciples that if you pray, you would have your heart's desire. And he certainly knew the road could and would be hard. Allowing ourselves to be prayerful assures us that God will be with us, walking with us every step of the journey, the easy steps and the hard. And that makes all the difference. And that makes all the difference.